Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Shri Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitya Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathuradham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Jamunamayi ki jai, Gangamayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yeah. And when you go there and you check that, it says, this verse is also quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, chapter 14, text 39. So that's the extent of the purport for today.
Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gaurave Namaha. That reminds me of nectar devotion. In nectar devotion, Srila Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness will teach us how to turn on the light switch that gives everything proper perspective. Okay, so in order to get proper perspective of this verse here, which Lord Brahma is saying, I don't know anything. I can't say anything about your opulences. There are many people who might say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them say that. So I thought, in order to get proper perspective, let's go back a little bit and see what Lord Brahma's just finished saying. Because actually here we're on text 38. This chapter goes up to 61, I believe. But this is the end of Lord Brahma's prayers that he's saying. This is practically the end of his prayers. So he started the chapter off, and it said so many very, very beautiful prayers that that's what I'm going to read from today. Okay, so back and go back to text 7. Here's what he said in text 7. Oops, took the glasses off too soon. In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars, and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all human beings? So who could possibly count? In the purport, the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples are explaining that actually it's impossible to count all the atoms, but it has been done. It has been done. And it was done by Satyajit. And even though Sesha, he has the potency to count all of those things, still, he's been trying to count the glories and recite the glories of the Lord since time immemorial. Still, he hasn't been able to come to the end. Also in that purport, there's a very nice little snippet from Srila Sanatana Goswami. Because Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that the Lord does... Here, I'll read it here. Srila Sanatana Goswami further explains that the Lord manifests a specific spiritual quality for the benefit of each living entity. Each living entity, since there are innumerable living entities within the confines of the material creation, the Lord manifests infinite qualities. Thus, every conditioned soul can appreciate the Lord in a particular way. How interesting, no? How confidential, how enlivening that every living entity has its particular relationship with the Lord and attracted to the Lord in a certain way. And the Lord is manifesting a unique quality for that person to be attracted to. It's mind-boggling. So then in text 8, Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar Devotion about text 8, this is Tate Nukampam Susamikshamanam, he says this verse should be the guide for all devotees. So this is that famous verse often quoted where Lord Brahma says, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances within his heart, words, and body, is what? Is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Very, very important mood that Lord Brahma is expressing, as Prabhupada says, that we should use as a guide for our journey in our attempt to become Krishna conscious. Just go on executing your sadhana to the best of your ability, but be confident that success is assured for one who follows the process. Because for one who follows the process, gradually that love of Godhead will be awakened in the heart. Although it's not a mechanical process. That's another thing. We'll go on. So 9. My Lord, just see my uncivilized impudence. To test your power, I tried to extend my illusory potency to cover you, the unlimited and primeval supersoul, to bewilder even the masters of illusion. Who bewilder? The Lord, who bewilders even the masters of illusion. What am I compared to you? I am just like a small spark in the presence of a great fire. Lord Brahma continues, therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion and therefore simply foolish, presuming myself a controller independent of your lordships. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please consider that I am your servant and therefore worthy of your compassion. He also says, what am I? A small creature measuring seven spans of my own hand. I am enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universe passed through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. O Lord Adhoksaja, does a mother take offense when a child within her womb kicks with its legs? Is there anything in existence, whether designated by various philosophers as real or unreal, that is actually outside your abdomen? My dear Lord, it is said that when the three planetary systems are merged into the water at the time of dissolution, your plenary portion, Narayan, lies down on the water. Gradually, a lotus flower grows from his navel, and Brahma takes birth upon that lotus flower. Certainly, these words are not false. Thus am I not born from you? And Lord Brahma continues on and on and on with very deep realizations, very deep philosophical realizations of the position of the Supreme Lord in comparison to his own tiny position. And here, I was going to skip ahead a couple of verses. Therefore, this entire universe, which is like a dream by its nature, which, like a dream, is by nature unreal, nevertheless appears real, and thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. And there's a couple of... Okay, here's the one. Okay, here's a verse, 25. A person who mistakes a rope for a snake becomes fearful, but then he gives up his fear upon realizing the so-called snake does not exist. Similarly, for those who fail to recognize you as the supreme soul of all souls, the expansive, illusory, material existence arises, but knowledge of you at once causes it to subside. And there's one other particular verse that I wanted to read from. Which number is it? 29. Okay, thanks. Atapi Deve Padam Bhujam Daya. 29. My Lord, if one is favored even by a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So then Lord Brahma prays, my Lord, I therefore pray to be so fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma, or in another life, wherever I take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. So through all of these prayers of Lord Brahma, including what now coming up to his conclusion, today's conclusion is, somebody might say, there might be so many people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. But as far as I'm concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh, my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words. So it's quite an amazing conclusion that that Lord Brahma is coming to, even though he just spoke of such an elevated and quite an extensive understanding of the Lord. But what was his ultimate understanding? His ultimate understanding was, I'm nothing. I'm nothing in compared to you. Even though our Lord Brahma in this universe, he might have four gigantic heads. Some other Lord Brahma in another universe might have trillions and trillions of heads. But even with all those heads and all that ability to understand and qualification, still, we're nothing in comparison to the Supreme Lord. So in our... It's good to always take things from others' perspectives, because sometimes we sit and we try to understand things from our perspective, but our perspective, our senses, our minds, our intelligence, our experience, our ability to understand, our ability to comprehend is so limited that what is our perspective in comparison? So if we meditate on that without the proper balance of the mercy of the Lord, it might get a tad depressing. How am I ever going to do it? It's impossible. I'm never going to be able to understand. But at the same time, even though Lord Brahma is expressing it like that, he's also giving us the clue of how actually it is that one can receive the mercy of the Lord, or actually how one can make progress. And that was text 29, where he said, if one just gets a little prashad, a little lesha, prashada lesha, just a little bit of mercy from the Lord, then that's what we need to understand. That's what we need to develop our devotion. That's what we need. We need the mercy of the Lord. And how much do we need? Tons and tons and tons. You have to be so qualified to get the mercy. Just prashada lesha, just a little bit. Just a little bit of mercy from the Lord. And then one has the ability. That verse is often is quoted in many ways in different places. It's even in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya comes to Jagannath Puri and he faints in front of the Lord, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is there, and he sees the chokidars about to beat the Lord, and he stops them, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a greatly learned scholar. He's one of the head pundits in the whole temple there. And he's instructing all the other Brahmins, all the other scholars. He's the head pundit. He's studied the Vedas. He knows so much, so much. But still, he's not able to recognize the Supreme. He's actually there, right there in front of the Lord. But he's not able to even though he recognizes that Lord Chaitanya's fainting is a sign of great divine ecstasy, still he's not able to recognize that this is the Supreme Lord now here in front of me. And through all his study of the Vedas, which is referred to by Lord Brahma, one can study the Vedas for many years and go on studying, but until they get a little bit of mercy of the Lord, they won't be able to come to the right conclusion of the scriptures. By studying, that's an interesting little point there, that just by studying the scriptures, it's not possible to come to the proper conclusion of Krishna's opulences, or who Krishna is, or who God is. It's not possible to study. It's not possible to come to that, because the scriptures are sometimes they're giving mixed messages. Even the bona fide scriptures, they're giving mixed messages. Why? Because we have mixed desires. And we're getting things according to our desire at the time. We're getting instruction. We're getting guidance according to the desire at the time that we approach the scriptures. So one has to be diligent, but one also has to pray for the mercy of the Lord, and that guidance will come to further and further expand, give us an opportunity to what? To hear from someone who actually understands the whole scene and the purpose of the scripture, what the conclusion of the scripture is. So many people have studied Bhagavad Gita or many other scriptures, but Bhagavad Gita, they come to the conclusion that so many different conclusions. Like that work is, that's the goal. Just do your duty. Well, that's okay. That's good. That's very important. Just do your duty. That's the goal of Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna says, what does Krishna say to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita? He says, do your duty while you're thinking of me. An important part that, you know, changes the whole perspective on things. Do your duty while thinking of me. So that's so important. So just by studying the scriptures, as Lord Brahma points out, one can't come to the proper conclusion unless they get the mercy of the Lord. And so how is that mercy of the Lord manifest in a person's life? Is that they get the opportunity to hear. They get the opportunity to hear from someone who has understood the proper conclusion of the scriptures. And by coming in contact like that, then one can make further progress. And the whole process, especially this process of bhakti yoga, is so potent that the process itself of bhakti yoga is so potent that once having begun, Srila Prabhupada says, hope you don't get bored that I always say the same things, but at least I try to say them from Prabhupada's books. But it's my favorite quote in Prabhupada's books from Nectar of Instruction, third verse. Prabhupada says in the purport there that the process of bhakti yoga is so potent that once having begun, one is dragged to ultimate success. So, yeah, so anyway. So it's so in the process, yes, Lord Brahma is explaining here that proper understanding of the Lord is very rarely achieved. The Lord is so great. Just like when you meditate on what the process of creation is explained in second and third canto of the Bhagavatam. It really puts you in your place, teeny weeny, insignificant little place. How the Lord comes and manifests the world, the material world, through the whole Mahavishnu's Garbhadakshay. Vishnu lies down on the Garbha ocean. From there, then, nope, I did it wrong, right? Who's first? Which Vishnu's first? Garbha? Karana. He lies on the Karana ocean. Yeah. Anyway. He lies on the Karana ocean. Then from him, Garbha, Dakshai Vishnu comes. And from him sprouts the lotus stem where Lord Brahma is born. But from the Karana Dakshai Vishnu, that Maha Vishnu, universes come from his pores. So we get so absorbed in our daily life of whatever challenges that we're meeting today or this span of years that we're going through. And you think of the state of the world and how Kali Yuga is progressing so quickly and how consciousness is degrading so fast and everyone, how to raise the world's consciousness. Well, how to speak of how to raise our consciousness, how to raise the world's consciousness. So bewildering, vast, and inconceivably difficult. But all of that is just like, it's not even a whole breath of Vishnu. Not even a whole breath. That's just like part. And then, so, it's like so amazing. And that's just a breath of Vishnu right now. So many unlimited universes are coming out. So many Brahmas are being born. So many creations are being manifested every day. Lord Brahma's duty every day. What is his duty every day? Create the world. Create the universe. Every day that's his duty. And every day it's different because from the day before, all the living entities have acted in a certain way and accumulated different karmic reactions. So they have to, even though they've been asleep for a night of Brahma, then in the daytime they come out and they're in a different position, either higher or lower, and so it's always, always going on. And that's just, and all of that is just in a corner, just a cloud, just a cloud, it's just a passing cloud in the spiritual world. Just like, whoa. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, oh, my struggle is really important, or, you know. So at least for myself, One of the conclusions, one of the many conclusions, is that we're just mercy cases. We're just mercy cases, and we have to learn to pray and call out for that mercy of the Lord. And Krishna hears that. No matter how small, insignificant, covered over we are, Krishna hears those prayers, just like in in the earlier cantos. How's that for a generalization? I think it's the first canto. But no, it's probably second. Whatever. When it's the list of the incarnations, when the list of the incarnations is just given briefly, in the story, when the incarnations of when Gajendra is there, the story of Gajendra is told in two verses in that chapter. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that how is it that the Lord could come to Gajendra instantly? So Gajendra's fighting his fight, which was a matter of life and death to him, with the crocodile in the water, fighting for 1,000 years, still that's quite some time. But still, when he finally realizes, I'm not going to win this fight, when he finally realizes, this is hopeless, I have no one else, my strength isn't sufficient, the strength of my family members isn't sufficient, all I can do is offer this prayer, and some prayers came to him from his previous life. So all he reaches down, offers his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna was there. Lord Vishnu was there in an instant. In an instant. So Prabhupada says, the Vaikuntha planets are millions and millions of incalculably far, millions of miles away from where Gajendra was at that time in that universe that he was in, that little planet that he was in. He was millions. But the Lord was there in an instant. How is that? Because it's not a material thing for the Lord. It's not that he has to get on a spaceship and travel and he's there because he's there within the heart. The living entity is never alone. Through this huge, vast ocean of nescience, which is our own doing, through millions and millions of incalculably innumerable bursts of accumulating karmic reactions. That's the ocean of nescience that we're in, that we've fashioned for ourselves. And so we somehow or other got that little prasadalesha, that little mercy of the Lord that we've been able to hear somehow or other from Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, and get a glimpse of where we want to go and a proper attitude. How are we going to make it? By calling out. By calling out. Because Krishna never leaves the living entity alone. He never leaves. It's never a hopeless case. Even though we might have made attempts to make progress or be determined or this or that, and perhaps encounter repeated obstacles or failures or difficulties, but the Lord never leaves the living entity alone. And neither did he leave Gajendra alone, even though it appeared through, it might have appeared that it was unfair that from King Indradumna he got cursed to take the birth as a dull elephant. It might have appeared unfair, but still, the Lord never leaves the living entity alone. And his love for the living entity is expressed through one of the verses, through the fact that he has innumerable qualities for every living entity to be attracted to the Lord in a unique way. And until that living entity is connected securely and reinstated in his original constitutional position, connected with the Lord, the Lord's not going, he's never going to leave us alone. Even at that point, he's not going to leave us alone. So we need to learn to cry out like that. Like Lord Brahma's, he's praying from all sincerity of his heart, praying for the mercy of the Lord, begging for forgiveness for his big offense that he just committed. Now here we could say, look, there's Lord Brahma, so enlightened, and yet committing, forgetful of his position, that he's a servant of the Lord, and wanting, and so what did he do? He tried to be willed, tested. Is that really the Lord? So what was Krishna's response?
If you remember, so far he hasn't said a peep. Krishna hasn't said a peep because why? He's totally absorbed in his activities, his pastimes, his lila with the cowherd boys. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he often gives a little insight to what the Lord is thinking. In his commentaries, he's saying that Krishna's thinking, who is, he's looking for his cowherd friends. He's looking for the cows. Who is this person here with saying all these things? I've got to get going. I've got to get going and find where the cows are, please. You know, he's thinking, who is this person? He doesn't say anything to the Lord, to Lord Brahma yet, anyway. He doesn't say anything at this particular time because he's totally absorbed. He's totally forgetful also, but forgetful in a different way. He's totally forgetful that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's absorbed totally by his own potency. He's absorbed in his activities, and he doesn't say anything to the Lord. So Lord Brahma, in the next few verses, he's going to request permission to leave. He doesn't even want to stay. He doesn't want to stay in Vrindavan. That's tomorrow's verse. I won't go too much on that. Because he realizes that his consciousness is in a total different place. And therefore, at this particular point, in this type of consciousness, he's an outsider. Because the consciousness in Vrindavan isn't, as Lord Brahma was expressing, knowledge of all the different, you know, philosophical conclusions and this and that and jnana and this and that. That's not the consciousness of in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the consciousness is, there's my friend. Let me play with him. Let me do this. Let me bring him. I just had something really nice to eat. Let me give it to my friend to see if he likes it also. You know, or there's my boy, or there's my lover, or there's my son. That's total absorption. So from this consciousness to that consciousness is a stretch. But it's possible by the mercy of the Lord. And there's just another thing that I'm going to just jump ahead. There's, see if it says. Well, I just wanted to, in the next few verses, there's Lord Brahma comes to the conclusion of his prayers, and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti also gives a summary of Lord Brahma's prayers. And I actually had quoted it in the last class a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't realize it came in this chapter, that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he's saying that these prayers of Lord Brahma are a boat crafted so that we can ply over the ocean of material existence. Let them be always, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is praying that let the conclusions of Lord Brahma's prayers always be engraved in my mind. So, Hare Krishna, I'm going to stop here and ask for some mercy and also any comments or questions. He who holds them. Okay.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Nanda.
Thank you for listening without falling asleep, Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking, one of the beauties of Krishna consciousness is that you can have a scholar who's, you know, knows so much understanding, you know, behind the whole creation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you get some mercy of Krishna also, then of course, you know, he can engage in Krishna's service. But then also you have, like, the Brahma, you know, the Brahma and the cobbler story.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
nice.
And I remember Prabhupada talking about the woman who was just bringing a bucket of water from the Ganges to the temple every day, and Prabhupada said she's going back to Godhead.
Yeah.
So, like you were saying, that the mercy from the spiritual master, which inspires the devotee to love Krishna.
Right.
That can come to anybody, no matter where they are in terms of intelligence, because it's all about the bhakti.
Right, Very nice point. Yeah, totally. It's totally encouraging, no? That no one's excluded. Oh, I have to learn all this. Oh, I have to this. No, it's not a question of scholarship. It's not a question of... It's just a question of love. It's turning to Krishna, and that's there. That opportunity's there for everyone. We'll do it since the microphone's over here. Madhu Matiji.
I was wondering, how does Lord Brahma feel the fact that Krishna doesn't say anything to him?
Interesting question. How does he feel that... When Sukada Prabhu was speaking, I also was going to say, it's not that Lord Brahma doesn't get the mercy of the Lord either. You know, we shouldn't think that he doesn't get the mercy of the Lord. Sometimes we have when it's mentioned like that, when they're these pastimes, we have the, oh, they're not very great devotees. They're huge, great devotees. They're far more advanced than I. Lord Brahma has so much more bhakti, but he has also so many other things going on too. So how does he feel? He's going to express it in the next few verses, so you have to come to class again, okay? Which you always do anyway. But how he feels that I don't quite belong here just yet, but I'm going to get the mercy. He'll get the mercy, and besides that, I don't really know how he feels, but I know Pran Govinda is going to tell us. But can you hold on a question? Hold on to that. Are you going to answer that? Okay. Well, okay. Let's go to Trivik Ram Prabhu, and then we'll come back. Okay.
Hari Bol. This great knowledge is available to everyone, but just a few would accept it. You know, and of those that accept it too. Just a few practices.
That's what's
said, really.
So, that's true.
So this is very bewildering. I mean, I don't know if you could. You know,
it's another thing that's also very bewildering. But again, we're looking at things from different perspectives at different times. So you look at it now and you see that at this, and you know, it's there in Bhagavad Gita. Just, you know, out of many thousands of men, hardly one know me in truth, right? So. But this isn't the only time. This, you know, time's eternal. You know, the living entities sojourn through the material world. It looks like it's eternal, but it's not eternal. There is an end, and our constitute. And before this ignorance, before us being placed, we were in knowledge, and we won't go there as to why we're here now. There, but anyway, still. So it. Everyone will get the opportunity. It might not be now. That's why you just go out and do our best to spread the holy name, be Krishna conscious ourselves, and everyone will get that opportunity. We're thinking that this life of 50, 60, 70 years is a long time. We're thinking that 100 years, we're thinking that 1900 was like a really long time ago. We're thinking that 5,000 years ago when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, that was practically, who knows, we can barely conceive of how long ago that was. But, you know, things have been going on for quite some time, and gradually everyone will get the opportunity. Pran Govinda Prabhu?
Another way to look at it also, Srila Prabhupada says that actually everybody is coming to that platform. In second canto, there is a three universal form, first chapter, sixth chapter, and tenth chapter. In the sixth chapter, universal form, in the one of the Parvati Prabhupada says that those who are scientist, atheist type of, they do appreciate the nature, like a tsunami, hurricane, earthquake, all this. So they appreciate Krishna's material nature, and next life, they become a demigod worshipper. Mm. And then next life, they become one of those superior, like Shiva worshipper. These are gradual progression. We are seeing even in Gainesville there is a 300 young boys and girls, they are Shiva worshipper, and none of them are Indian Hindus. I personally went there, and so it is a gradually taking place. And then next life they will become close to religion concept of Vishnu Tattva worshipper. Then next life they come to Krishna worshipping. So gradual progress, Prabhupada gives very nice one purport. It satisfied me that actually everybody is coming to this path. Mm-hmm. But it is very few at the top. Mm-hmm. So like Prabhupada gives the diamond merchant will not get too many customers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada also gave that. So because mm-hmm. it is diamond.
Yes.
Another point also, Mother Madhumati, is that actually Brahmaji did repent. It is required. Like you have spoken about Gajendra's case. Gajendra's case, Prabhupada also mentioned Bhuri Karunaya Lila, that verse, the famous verse that Prabhupada says that before even a devotee start praying, Lord already ready to give him mercy. He's just waiting for the devotee to start, even before he start.
Yeah.
You remember that verse, Bhuri Karunaya, very famous verse. So there also in the end, Prabhupada gives a very nice that, or I picked up that way, that four things what causes Gajendra to come to this point that Krishna appeared in front. Before that, he did not have these four things. Number one was that he was on his own boss. In spiritual progress as a Indradumna Maharaj, he was progressing on his own. When Agastya Rishi came to give him higher dimension on spiritual progress, he disregarded. He neglected. He was thinking on his own. As a result, Agastya Rishi said, you thinking you will progress in spiritual path by your own, you are big king, but your intelligence is very little, like an elephant. Immediately he transformed into elephant for 36,000 years. And if we go back, then Prabhupada gives this, if you like summarize the whole thing, then he comes to a point where you say, you have explained nicely that where he could not find any. This three-quarter mountain, the three-hill mountain, is so vast, big, that everybody, every animal would be fear of this Gajendra. Even rhinoceros, lions, they eat elephant, but they were afraid of him. So then at one point, he came to a point, how is possible all my family member, all my relatives, all this animal could not save me? Then when he contemplated that, then he came to a second stage where he found this little insignificant crocodile can put me in such a trap that I cannot save myself. Then he came that God must be behind everything. When he came to that conclusion that it is must be Krishna's sanction for me to this, then he saw a fearful scenery that the crocodile is growing bigger and bigger and he is getting weaker and weaker. Then he saw his imminent death. Then immediately, Prabhupada writes that the fear caused him so much to surrender. That time, in intense pain, memory from last life, prayers arise, and he surrendered. When he surrendered the fourth stage, Krishna appeared. That time he plucked the flower. So surrender is the key. It's not really like how much I practice. It's surrender. I must surrender to Prabhupada, must surrender to my spiritual master Krishna. Then Krishna is there immediately. So for Brahmaji, he needed repentance. He did. Even Pundarik Prabhu was telling a funny story in Vrajadham, probably you heard, that Brahmaji came after that to Vrindavan. And he said, I did commit so much offense, I must take some remnants of his. So he was eating prasadam somewhere with the boys and then he went to wash. So he was hiding inside that pond as a fish, took a form of fish to get the remnants after Krishna was. But Krishna Samarada didn't wash in the pond. He put some water out and washed it. So fish could not get it. Brahma could not get it. But anyways, the story goes that what causes Brahma repent so much that he took shelter of Surubhi and came to Mayapur, where Antardeep, the Jogopit, birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, he got. If the repentance was not there, he would never come to that stage there where he got in Antardeep, Mayapur, the whole story of Mayapur.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Surrender.